day today. Hot temperatures continue through the week, which will be scorching and sunny for the exhibitions happening in both Saskatoon and Regina. The, of course, Saskatoon exhibition starts with its parade tomorrow. Exhibition starts on Thursday in Regina. Queen City X fires up tomorrow. Queen City X happens from Wednesday to Sunday. In Saskatoon, the X happens from Thursday to Thursday. So a little bit different in terms of length and duration, but nonetheless, it'll be a big event. We're going to talk more about it, by the way, on the show tomorrow. I'll give you a chance to, I think back to how many times I was, you know, a farm kid. I'll say a little farm kid. I was never little. Who am I trying to kid? But I was a farm kid that was begging mom and dad to let me go into the city. I had a cousin that lived in the city, and she would always be going to the exhibition. So I have lots of memories of the exhibition as a kid. And I think we romanticized the exhibition when we were young, and you go now as an adult and it's like, no, oh, I don't know. Maybe those corn dogs aren't as good as I thought they were. Anyway, we'll talk about that tomorrow on the show, but the weather is definitely going to be good through the next week for both events in Regina and Saskatoon. Well, every month we bring on the two main city police chiefs, the larger city, I should say, police chiefs, Saskatoon's chief, Regina's chief, and we will talk about the issues that are happening in their communities. And there's always lots going on. Today is the regular check-in with Chief Cam McBride of the Saskatoon Police Service. Chief McBride joins me by phone from his office. Chief, thanks so much for the check-in today.
Good morning, and glad to be here.
I feel like your officers must be getting really well-versed on overpass heights and related traffic offenses. Another overpass hit just this past week in your community, Chief.
Yeah, you know what? It's unbelievable. Nobody would believe it if we forecasted it a year ago.
So this one was a grain bin that was being hauled through the city. I understand your officers wrote a ticket for driving without due care and attention. Is that why is that the charge for your officers? I know Saskatchewan Highway Patrol wrote a couple of other tickets as well.
Yeah, you know, the due care ticket is kind of a catch-all ticket that we will often use. To summarize kind of a series of events or a specific, event that occurred while driving. And it just, it captures any conceivable thing that you could define as not using the care that a person should use and that the public expects them to use.
Mm-hmm. And if they're trying to successfully defend that in court, I mean, they would have to prove that they did take proper care, which would be measured, all of the things that would go along with successfully going under the underpass without crashing into it. I'm assuming that's what makes that the appropriate ticket.
Yeah, absolutely. And we see it all the time. And we've really, really been working hard with our traffic unit, both our provincial unit, paid for by the province of Saskatchewan and our own Saskatoon Police Traffic Unit to target commercial vehicles and get a handle on some of this stuff. And we've been really disappointed at what we've been finding. For example, we've done four significant projects recently, 226 commercial vehicles checked, 169 tickets issued, 63 vehicles taken off the road because they just were simply unsafe to be on the road. So, like, that's basically a 27% failure rate of vehicles that we've checked. And it's just something that is not seeming to get better over time.
There was a couple of texts that came in when we first heard about the overpass being hit, this latest one anyway, saying, enough's enough. Why aren't the police laying charges like criminal negligence? Can you speak to that, Chief? Like, what would have to be the case for it to meet the threshold of a criminal charge like that?
Well, criminal negligence, and if I had anticipated the question, I'd be far better versed. But when we look at things that happen from a traffic perspective, you know, often utilizing the Traffic Safety Act or the vehicle equipment regulations are the appropriate charge in any given case. And we see that even with some very significant collisions and stuff like that. We utilize the Traffic Safety Act. But when we think about criminal negligence, we think, you know, more so about placing individuals at significant risk or causing significant harm to the community that would be defined as criminal in nature. And that's a pretty big step, or, you know, a pretty big thing to prove in court. And so utilizing the Highway Traffic Act, or sorry, the Traffic Safety Act, mm-hmm. or the, you know, vehicle equipment regulations, we know we can prove those things. And if we look at maximum penalties, there are some pretty significant penalties if they're applied appropriately in a given case.
I want to change gears for a second, because the Crime Severity Index numbers come out from Stats Canada every year in July. They were just released here in this past week. Talk about what, first of all, what is the CSI numbers? What is it measuring? And then give us an idea of what it showed for Saskatoon.
It's not just about numbers of crimes. So Statistics Canada looks at CSI and they utilize numbers, but they also provide a weighting for various offenses. So, for example, a homicide would have a very high weighting, whereas a theft under $5,000 would have a very small or light weighting. And so it's looking at crime severity across the spectrum of number, volume, and severity mm-hmm. of those crimes. Typically, or I guess historically, Saskatoon has been quite a bit higher. For a while there, we were 1, 2, or 3, and we've seen a steady decline over the last few years. This year, we were sitting at 10. And I guess I need to clarify, this is the census metropolitan area of Saskatoon. So it's Saskatoon and area. And we utilize, or we talk about that number, because that has been the number that StatsCan has historically used to describe Saskatoon. I know this year there were some more specific numbers to Saskatoon proper, but in order to maintain consistency, we're looking at Saskatoon metropolitan mm-hmm. census area, and that's where we are, is number 10. I think it's a reflection of a lot of hard work, a lot of community involvement, a lot of partnerships, and we're definitely moving in the right direction. And of course, we're always comparing ourselves to other cities across Canada to see how we compare.
I watched a chief in another part of Canada do an interview on the Crime Severity Index. Their organization went down on the list, which, of course, as you're talking about, is positive for the community. You never want to be number one on the Crime Severity Index. But he attributed it more to crime going up in other parts of Canada at a higher rate than it is in his community. He even suggested, I don't know that a lot has changed in our community. It's just parts of Canada have gotten worse. How much does that play into it? Have you any perspective on that, Chief?
You know, that's always part of the consideration. And so what we do is we take CSI, we take the value from CSI that is there, but we're also comparing it to our local statistics and what's happening, you know, specifically in the city of Saskatoon based on our own numbers, which we can compare over a long period of time because we've been collecting that data so long. And so, you know, I can say in 2026 so far, we're a little bit down in violent crime, although based on media releases, it doesn't always feel that way. But we're definitely down in violent crime, and we're kind of status quo in terms of property crime year to date in 2026.
I saw a social media post from the city of Saskatoon suggesting that while the CSI numbers may be showing a positive trend, let's not forget there's a lot of unreported crime. And so we need to, you know, make an effort to get crime reported, whether it's, you know, property related crime or serious incidents. We know, for example, sexual assaults are largely unreported to police. Is that something that you think about, that you put intentional effort towards regularly, Chief?
I do, and I hear from the community that some of our mechanisms for reporting crime are cumbersome. I've been actually speaking publicly about optimism around a new web-based platform for reporting crime. We're not there yet. I thought we would be there already. But, you know, we're a little bit slow getting that off the ground, but we will have better reporting options, and CSI is based on police-reported crime. Mm-hmm. And so if the public's not reporting to us, we can't report to Stats Canada.
Okay, we're going to take our break. Chief McBride is with us right till the bottom of the hour. And by the way, if you have a question, always welcome you to shoot us a text at 1-877-332-8255. We'll be right back. Chief Cam McBride here on 980 CJME, 650 CKOM. Welcome back to the show. Evan Bray chatting today with Saskatoon's Chief of Police, Cam McBride. Cam, you and I have talked about bear spray and the problem that it's caused in your community and the efforts that you and the rest of the authorities in the city of Saskatoon have taken to try and deal with the issue. Recently, since you and I chatted last, there's been a fine issued for a business in Saskatoon selling bear spray without taking the proper ID. I think this feels like a good step because it kind of closes that loop and shows that there will be consequences if businesses don't do their part to ensure that it's getting into the hands of the right people.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when the legislation was proposed, I was concerned around whether or not fines that would be a deterrent would actually be implemented. And we've seen that now. We've heard from the city of Saskatoon that some of the smaller vendors are saying, well, we're out. You know, we're not going to do it. It's too much hassle. We don't want to sell bear spray anymore. And that's good for us, you know, because typically they were the ones who were least likely to comply. And if they're out, that's good.
Right. Do you have a sense, like, have you ever been able to trace back through an investigation to where someone got the bear spray? Has it been an investigative tool for you? Or is it a little bit more of that hard to measure? It's maybe deterred people from trying to buy it in a retail store in the city.
It's been really hard to measure over the years, partly because some of the vendors were buying product that didn't have serial numbers and had no identifying features that enabled us to really trace it or track it. And that, of course, with the new legislation, if you're selling bear spray, it has to have those identifying characteristics. So moving forward, definitely we have that capacity. Mm-hmm. It's not always practical or necessary, but where it is, we can do it.
A couple other things I wanted to touch on. There was a story recently of a theft of a scooter, a robbery of a scooter from a 13-year-old in Lawson Heights. I know three people, your team arrested three people there. How challenging are street robberies in the summertime for your officers?
They're very challenging. They happen, you know, far too frequently. And I think, you know, certainly from a policing perspective, we always talk about deterrence. And where we make an arrest like that, yes, there's a necessity for making amends, for, you know, alternative measures. But where we have somebody who's a prolific thief or a prolific violent offender who's doing these kind of things in the community, we want them held accountable if we're going to go through the work of arresting, charging, and sending them to court. Let's have some good results out of the court system and even some good conditions that we can follow up with after the fact.
I have a text here that's coming in from a listener talking about the fact that your team, your officers, have recently made two arrests on Canada-wide warrants. So one was for a fellow wanted for murder from Ontario. The other, if I'm not mistaken, was someone on multiple weapon charges from Quebec. This person is asking, you know, do those agencies from the other parts of Canada reach out and ask for your assistance, or is this just your officers happen to come across these guys and thus execute those warrants?
You know, we have really, really good communication with other services across Canada. In these two cases, we were approached by the police services who had initiated these files and where the crimes had occurred. And they had some information that they were, you know, either living in or hiding out in Saskatoon. And we put our, in one case, we put our warrant enforcement unit on it. In another case, some of our investigators on it, and we were able to find them and arrest them. And these are, again, incredibly violent individuals who needed to face for their crimes. And it was amazing. You know, it just worked out good. Mm-hmm. And we'll do the same. If we have somebody and we catch wind that they're in another city, we're very quick to make that communication and connection, and we help one another all the time.
I want to talk about a topic of discussion in Regina, but relate it to your thoughts and how you deal with it in Saskatoon. The Regina Police Service this past week warning people of a 49-year-old male by the name of Jason Paul Thorne, a high-risk sex offender that's being moved into a home in the city's Heritage neighborhood on Monday. He is being deemed a high risk to reoffend, and yet is going to be in the community on conditions. And of course, this has got a number of people worked up. We're talking about this. I have the Minister of Community Safety on the show tomorrow morning. We're talking about this. But your thoughts on the question people are asking is, if he's a high risk to reoffend, how is it that he's back out in the community?
It's incredibly frustrating. I can tell you that first and foremost. From a policing perspective, because often we understand and we've seen firsthand the violence and the victimization that these individuals have inflicted on members of our community. And so it's very, very frustrating. Although we understand that there are rules and legislation that govern how long we can hold people, you know, how they're released. And in some cases, they just have to be released. And where they're released with conditions or where they're released even without conditions, with advance notice, we have the ability to create a plan and to, I guess for lack of a better term, be all over them, to be monitoring them, following them, keeping track of them, and where they slip up, and often they do, we're there and we're ready to, you know, to arrest and charge mm-hmm. once again. But yeah, it's so incredibly frustrating. And I think that's why we always talk about advancing, bail reform,
right?
Advancing, proper sentencing guidelines and ensuring that the sentence fits the crime.
It's a frustrating topic. We're digging into it in greater detail, and I'm opening up the phone lines tomorrow morning, so I'm guessing we'll have a thorough discussion on it. We under a minute left, but the Saskatoon X fires up this week. The parade is tomorrow. Just very quickly, what does that look like for your officers enhancing community safety for this celebration and week-long event?
We work incredibly well with Prairie Land. Prairie Land runs an amazing show. They are very, very safety conscious, and honestly, their processes and policies have professionalized and improved year over year. I have full confidence that they're going to do the same this year, and we're very proactively working with them. We have staff on site the entire time that the exhibition's going on, and we'll be in partnership with them. Make sure people are safe and have a great, great time. Even the farm kids from rural Saskatchewan.
Well, you heard me talking about it earlier. This farm kid made his way into the exhibition on a regular basis. Chief, always appreciate your time.
You bet. Glad to do it.
Chief Cam McBride, Saskatoon Police Service. Okay, let's take a break. We'll be back. Lots to talk about yet on the show. Appreciate you being here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.